Okay, would you turn your Bible to John chapter 16, verse 4, and we will start. As I mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating, Holy Spirit get the bum rap, right? Because people, the believers, don't know the Bible, and unbelievers are ignorant in the Word of God, so they kinds of make the things as they go. To make the matter worse, many Bible teachers and pastors rely on their church regulations and guidelines regarding the Holy Spirit. And they come up with it, or sometimes they come up with whatever fancies their mind. In result, we hear or see many weird unbiblical doctrines and actions by some charismatic denomination teachers. One of the things that pass by is holy laughter. Have you ever heard that? People laughing like a crazy for no reason. They said that it was influenced by the Holy Spirit. Or they acting like an animal. What good is about that? But they do. And then there's another group of people. Another group of people who go to the other side of the spectrum. They treat Holy Spirit's gift like a leprosy. And they discard the Holy Spirit gift. They discard the Holy Spirit's gift in prophecy and in healing, all these things, what charismatic denomination cherish. But they say that there's no longer is available. However, they say the gift of teaching is still available because they like to have the gift of teaching. Neither way is correct. I believe that it is the Lord's desire for us to know and understand what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. I don't care to know the human opinion, but I do care very much what the Bible says. You can say that we need to find out the job description of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through what the Lord Jesus speak to us this morning. By reading John chapter 13 through 16, we find that chapter 13 talks about they would not be able to go with him where he's going. Thus, they have a growing anticipation and panic mode. In chapter 15, Jesus warned the persecution to come. He's not making their life any easier. And the disciples certainly felt that extremely insecure. Knowing well, Jesus explained in detail who else will replace him. He's not leaving them in orphan. Rather, he's replacing someone who can do far more. And you may say, what do you mean far more? Let me explain. It is important to note that the Spirit came to the church and not to the world. Did you get that? Holy Spirit came to the church and not unbelievers. Yes, he is here, but not ministering to the unbelievers. It means that he works in and through the believers of Jesus Christ. He ministered through the people of God as the Lord Jesus had to have the human body in order to do his atoning work on earth. So the Holy Spirit needs the body, that is the body of Jesus Christ, church people, to accomplish his ministry. It is not because God the Spirit cannot do anything without the people. Rather, he chooses to do it that way. Like when you have children when you were young, or your grandchildren, they want to help, right? They are more in the way, or they do the things that slow you down. But you choose to include them. Why? Because it makes them feel like they are part of the things that you choose. The Holy Spirit came to empower the church, the body of Jesus Christ, for edification and witness. We are his tools and we are his outreach program. Keep that in back of your mind. We are his outreach program. What you do at work, at home, and at your neighbor, witnessing to your unbelieving family members and comforting downcast neighbors and speaking to the co-worker who cannot understand the meaning of the life, and you can speak to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's receive his instruction today. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, there are many voices regarding the Holy Spirit, but we thank you for you giving us the truth, you giving us the clear way from your word. Father, we are asking you to open our heart to receive your word, the wisdom to understand. To the unbelievers, this is just page, this is letters and phrase. But let your phrase and letters come alive in our heart and speak to us and engrave in our heart that what you want us to do. Anointing to be upon us and anointing to be upon the one who speak and forgive his sins. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, we are asking your will be done, and they may do what is right in your sight to glorify your holy name. Father, we also pray for our troops, armed forces, personnel, ever-increasing threat of war from the North Korea, and ever-increasing threat against our police officers and firefighters. Father, we are asking you to protect them and keep them safe. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the way, I forgot to include in the bulletin. Yes, I am having a Green Valley moment. We said to gather up the cookies for our police officers and sheriff deputies and firefighters. So we do every year, right? So starting today, I will put it in next week, but 2 weeks from today would be 17th, 16th, what was it? Yeah, 17th, right? Sunday, that will be the gathering time. And Suzanne Jones is somewhere outside. Where is Suzanne? Yeah, she will gather up. Anyway, bring all your cookies to the church by 17th, okay? Everybody agree? I promise I won't eat. I'm a diabetic, I cannot eat those things. All right, verse 4 of chapter 16, please. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And that these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said that these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. There, stop there, please. For over 3 years, the Lord Jesus nurtured his disciples. But now he is leaving them, and they are so distraught, and they are speechless and filled with the sorrow. Remember time, I don't know about you, but there was one time I was seeing my mother left our home and walking away. In my little mind, I was probably 5, 6 years old. I thought she was leaving me. Why did I come up with the idea? I have no idea. But have you ever had that feeling before? As if your parents are leaving you as an orphan, and you are desperate, and you're panicking? That's the place where these disciples were. Listen, our security can be cured with a total dependence in Christ Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Our insecurity can be cured with a total dependence in Christ Jesus. If you're depressed, if you don't have hope, if you don't have that secure feeling emotionally, spiritually, you can find that security in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Go down to verse 7, please, of chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The word advantage in Greek is sumphero. It means that it is profitable for us to have Jesus to go away. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't sound right, does it? But it is true, though, for two reasons. Number one, Jesus is limited in human body, but Holy Spirit is not. I know some of you mothers tell all the kids, you can go into the several different places at once, and you have eyes in the back of your head. And of course, we kids believe that, right? The divinity of Jesus was contained in the humanity of a physical body. He could not be everywhere at the same time. But the Holy Spirit is omnipresent God, omniscient God, who can do that? The Spirit of God can strengthen each of believers at the same time because he would work from within. All the believers of Jesus Christ, if you are born again believers, you have the Holy Spirit within you, individually, not corporately, individually. That means he will work in your heart, just to customize in your heart and whatever in your life. And at the same time, the person sitting next to you will work, Holy Spirit will work differently in that person's heart. Are you with me? And the innermost part of our hearts where there is a panic, he brings a peace. And where there is a fear, he brings fortitude. Second reason why it's better for Jesus to go and then bring the Holy Spirit to us is only through his departure from this world, Jesus could provide us the way of salvation. Jesus came here to die and risen from the dead. That's the sole purpose, to take away our sins, our punishment, so that we may have eternal life. No other reason. Jesus didn't come here to tickle your tummy or make you feel better, like some Bible teachers would say. Without his death on the cross as our atoning sacrifice, there would be no gospel. Atonement for sin was absolutely necessary for Jesus to save people from their sins. Otherwise, we would be stuck in our sins and without any hope of forgiveness and heaven. Go down to verse 8, please. And when he comes, who is the he? Come on, talk back to me. Holy Spirit, exactly. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict you. Would you underline, circle, highlight all of that? Put the big, gigantic arrow on that word, convict. And you might want to even write, not condemnation. Convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Or sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Notice that there are three aspects of job description here of the Holy Spirit to the unbelievers. He already talked about what he would do with the believers. First one is convicting the world of sin. There's a Chinese proverb you may heard, you may not heard. At the end of the day, whip your child. You may not know why you're whipping the child, but the child knows exactly why he's being whipped. That's the conviction, would you say? The word convict is a legal word. It's a Greek word. The Greek word is eleko, and it means to bring to light, to expose, to reprove. It also can be translated, pronounce the verdict. The world has declared their open season against Christianity long ago. Would you agree? Because it is under complete control of Satan. The world, the unbelievers think that they are a majority, thus they can judge Christians any way they want. If you have any doubt, just simply watch TV and read the newspapers. They mock Christianity while they apologize to Islams that their followers don't want destroying people's lives and properties and many other things. Why do they apologize to the one that Islam, it clearly says in their Quran, that killed the Gentiles? What is the infidels, I'm sorry. They use the word infidel. Anyone who don't believe in Islam. Why are they apologizing for that. I don't get it. But they do. Yet they do not know that it is a Christian who are passing judgment of God and on the world as the witness of Jesus Christ. We don't need to tell them you are going to hell, because they already know. That's why they despise us. Believers are the witness, and the Holy Spirit is the prosecuting attorney, and the unsaved ones are the guilty prisoners of Satan, and God the Father is the ultimate judge. There is no defense attorney, no appeals court. All the fancy 5,000 suit lawyers will not be able to do anything, because they will be busy defending. They cannot even defend themselves in front of all-knowing God. However, the purpose of this indictment is not to condemn them, rather to save them through Jesus Christ, so that they may have a salvation. So what are the unsaved ones being convicted of? Jesus does not leave any room for us to come up with our own answer, or any room for the unbelievers to wiggle their way out. Go back to verse 9, please. Of sin. Can you say it with me? Of sin. Because they do not believe in me. Remember when we studied previously, there's one unpardonable sin. Remember what that is? And blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And some people think that blaspheming the Holy Spirit, if I curse somebody with the name of Holy Spirit, am I going to have that unpardonable sin? No, it's not. Do you know what the unpardonable sin is? As I explained before, it's one thing: denying the deity of Jesus, denying the Savior of Jesus Christ. When a person rejects the salvation through Jesus Christ, that person is committing unpardonable sin. If that person chooses to do to their last breath, there's no turning back, no purgatory, no coming back, no indulgence, no nothing. You with me on that? There's no second opportunity. Convicting us of a sin, and not necessarily sin of a general, in general, which is already enough, but to show us that we are unpardonable sinners without Jesus. Holy Spirit takes a message of death and resurrection of Jesus and shows us that it is true, and shows us that we need to turn to God. Without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, we would never come to Jesus. Or you may say, oh yeah, I would come to Jesus. He's lovable. He's lovable, but we are not. We are filled with the self-righteousness, and we would say, oh, I'm better than him, pointing at somebody else. That's why when I'm praying for any unbelievers in this room or around the world, I pray that God would convict him or her through the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts, keep your finger in the John, and go to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. That will be the fifth book of the Bible, New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Apostle Peter is speaking to the multitude on the day of Pentecost. Now when they heard that the people there heard this, they were cut to the heart. Note their word, phrase, please. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Stop there, please. See, the Holy Spirit does not convict us of our sins to drive us to despair, but to send us into the open arms of Jesus Christ. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, as we read in these two verses, people were cut to the heart. This phrase means that pierced in their heart. The Holy Spirit will stab you with a conviction, in effect, but it is not to destroy you, but to show you your need for Jesus. Second thing the Holy Spirit is doing is convicting the world with the righteousness of God. righteousness of God. Back to the verse 10 in chapter 16, please. Of righteousness, because I go to the go to my Father, and you see me no more. An unsaved person can live one's life with honesty, goodness, and kindness, and gentleness, and good work. But he or she will still go end up in hell because that person chooses not Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Bottom line. And you may say, well, that's uncool. That one time, one lady told me that, who told me and told many other people that she has a 2 PhDs, degrees. I didn't tell her the PhD stand for the pile high and deep. Anyway, she told me that I taught the most unkind message because I talked about salvation through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why I said that. Our sin is not something we can change. Go to Isaiah chapter 64, please. Right before the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. 64, verse 6, please. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rag. Think of the worst kinds of filth. Put it on the rag. And that is compared with our righteousness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Your best behavior, your best act, your best thought is equivalent to this filthy rag in God's eyes. And you may say, how is that possible? How can I be in heaven? Well, through Jesus Christ. God gave you a way. Let's read the rest of them. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sin swept us away. Our righteousness is a filthy rag. Don't forget it. To make the matter worse, our righteousness, according to the absolute truth, the Bible, is a filthy rag, and we don't have a snowball chance in front of God's righteousness without Jesus Christ. But we who are believers of Jesus Christ, now we have what kinds of righteousness? Our own righteousness? Whose righteousness? Come on, talk back to me. Jesus' righteousness. Absolutely pure and holy and perfect righteousness of God. When God the Father sees me, wretched sinner, he doesn't see me as a sinner, but he sees me as the person whose sins been forgiven and received the holy and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he said, you are forgiven. How are you going to beat that? Since the world cannot see the righteousness of Jesus, they only see it reflected in us. Just as the moon reflects the brightness of unseen sun in the darkness of night. When nothing eclipses our relationship with the unseen Son of God, we will reflect the true light to the world, and that's submerged in the darkness. No wonder people in darkness hate us because we reflect the light of the Son of God. Third thing that Holy Spirit does is convicting the world with the judgment of God. Go back to verse 11, please, in chapter 16. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. It's easy to think that a future judgment is coming. Have you ever said that to somebody? The judgment of God is coming. You said it, I've said it. But technically, theologically, it's incorrect. If I'm nitpicking, we should say the execution of the judgment, God's judgment of the world is coming. Judgment has been already pronounced. Where? All the way to the front. Genesis chapter 3. And you may say, well, show me. I'm glad you asked. So go there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. I know some of you guys, if you've never been in our church, you would say, why don't you put that Bible verse on the screen so I don't have to turn? Really? Are you that lazy? Shut up and turn. It's your textbook, it's your manual, right? Verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, that's the devil, because you have done this, you are cursed more than the all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Satan stand condemned. Satan stand condemned. And anyone who chooses not to accept Jesus into one's heart as a Savior and Lord, and also stand condemned by their own choice. Nobody send anybody to hell except themselves. They say, many people told me, loving God will not send me to hell. Absolutely correct. But you do. Here's an extremely important point that we must realize. There can be no conversion without conviction. And there can be no conviction apart from the Holy Spirit using the Word of God and the witness of the believers of God. Listen carefully, please. Listen. Witnessing is a great privilege, but it is also a serious responsibility. I heard that stat that 80% or 90% of the Christians never witness to anyone. Remember what I said before? What is better than going to heaven? Taking someone with you. What is worse than going to hell? Taking someone with you to hell. For you as a believers of Jesus Christ, you should have that excitement in your heart to tell about others, tell about the Jesus Christ to others. But you have to do it right way. How we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us to the right person, give us the right word, and the dependable, enable us patiently to glorify Jesus Christ. When I got saved in 1987, I had no idea I'm supposed to wait upon the Holy Spirit. So I could not wait to tell people about Jesus Christ. It was a very brutal. I was pretty much shoving the Bible into people's throat. Is it right? Wrong? Did I have a right heart? Yes. Was it overzealous? Yes. Was it proper way? No. Absolutely wrong. You wait upon God. Wait upon the Holy Spirit. He will tap your heart. Hey, that person. Go speak to that person. What do I say? I don't care. Just go ahead. Start to speak. And I will put the word in your mouth. And while you're speaking, and you're thinking, wow, this is good. I should be the next Billy Graham. Remember, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And how is that possible? God is using you. Don't be impressed. Because the guy used the donkey to talk to the prophet. Feel better now? Say with me. Witnessing is a great privilege, but it is also serious responsibility. Say it with me again. Witnessing is a great privilege, but also serious responsibility. Okay, go down to verse 12 of chapter 16. Back to John. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when He, the Holy, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Verse 14, and He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Just as Jesus taught His disciples according to God the Father's teaching plan, Holy Spirit teaches us and points to us to Jesus through His Word, the Bible. How many of you guys have received the reading Bible reading plan in your bulletin? Raise your hand. All of you, right? You want to try it with me? I'm about done with the Bible. You guys, the last year, at the beginning of this year, we handled this one, same kind of plan, not same, a little bit more vigorous plan. You get to read the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once. We are almost at the end. You've been following that thing? And you're thinking, no. I stop at the Genesis chapter 3 or 4. Have you ever read entire Bible even once? I'm asking you to I'm challenging you. It will change your life. It will literally change your life. I said this, I'm going to make the same example. A young man somehow got our Bible plan, and he and his wife start to read the Bible, following each day. And they got to finish the entire Bible. And then God spoke to him, you will start a church. And he went to West Omaha, and started a church. And he's using same Bible plan to his congregation. And he saw me at the Bible pastor's conference, and he said, you're the ones. I was thinking, what did I? There are so many, I don't know what to tell you. And he said, you made the Bible plan, and I bought it, and I followed it, and the Lord is using me to be a pastor. Do you know that just made my day? It only takes 20 minutes a day. How many of you guys are spending more than 20 minutes on your Facebook or social media? Whole lot more, right? Can you remove that social media? It doesn't edify you, really. There are so much garbage, so much lies, deceptions. So remove that social media, read the Bible 20 minutes a day. You will be able to finish the entire Bible in a year if you follow that plan. Can you do it with me? Can you do it with me?
Yes.
I'm not going to promise. Try it. Just try it. You have to plow through all the names. There are times it's like, why am I reading this, Lord? Been there, done that. How many times, I don't even know. Anyway, Word of God will help you. There are two theological words you should know. There are two theological words you should know. One is inspiration, and the other is illumination. Inspiration was what happened when a selected group of men, 40 authors to be exact, from Moses to the Apostle John, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God enabled them to write down exactly what he wanted to say in the scripture. That is over after the final book of the Bible, Book of Revelation by the Apostle John. And the scripture is completed. Nothing more to add, nothing else to remove. You with me? There's no second book. I know what the Mormons say, I know what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, but they have their own books. If you don't believe me, read the last chapter, last phrase of the Book of Revelation. Anyone who add or remove will let them be eternally accursed. Is that clear enough? But illumination is going on even today. When you read the Word of God, the Bible, or listen to the sermons or teachings by the pastors and Bible teachers, the Holy Spirit illuminates for you, and you have one of those, aha, I get it. That moment, that is illumination. And I like what Martin Luther says, the Bible will forever remain a closed book unless God opens and explains to us the scripture. Only Holy Spirit can open our heart to receive. The Holy Spirit always glorified the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He neither diminished God the Son's glory, nor does he steal the spotlight for himself. There's no competition. Some silly theologians insisted Apostle Paul extend the simple gospel with the complicated theologies. No, he just expounded it. Same Holy Spirit communicate the truth found in the four gospels, the epistles, all from the Romans all the way to the Revelation. And he also wrote the history and the doctrine found in the Book of Acts. Thus, our Calvary Chapel of Sarepta to what the Lord Jesus said in the four Gospels and what the apostles teach us in their epistles in the New Testament. What about the Old Testament? We take it also as is. But there are some of the Old Testament things are, listen to me, only apply to the Jewish people, like a circumcision or some of the rituals, the sacrifice, all of that is remain for the Jewish people, not to us. That's the reason why we completely ignore apocryphal books, or known as the lost books, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Judas, and all of that's the Judah. Yeah, Judas, not Judah. And some people come to me and say, have you read the Gospel of Thomas? I said, no. Why not? How do you know it's not God? I don't have to know. It's not in the Bible. If it's important for me, God would have included it in the Bible. Would you agree? Do you think he has the power to do that? Oh, yes. Why are you trying to waste your time and the things is not important? If you have that much time, read the Bible. It's simple, isn't it? And people like to argue about that kind of thing. You know, if you want to argue with me for that kind of thing, please don't. I won't. And people say, well, in my opinion, that's fine. That's your opinion. Keep it to yourself. I'm very diplomatic. The Holy Spirit works in us and through us, and so we came up with the motto, knowing Jesus and making him known. Three important points to remember. Our insecurity can be cured with a total dependence in Christ Jesus. Second point, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict us of our sins to drive us to despair, but to send us into the open arms of Jesus. Third point, there can be no conversion without conviction, and there can be no conviction apart from the Spirit of God using the Word of God and witness of the believers of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.